Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. You know, one of the best known commandments of Jesus is, love your enemies. But it's also true to say that it's probably the least obeyed. I mean, almost everybody knows that he said that, but not many of us take it very seriously. We pay lip service to it. We concede that it's a very gracious concept, and we recognize that the world would be a better place if more people took it to heart. But that's about as far as we go. Rarely, if ever, do we make this commandment a ruling principle of our daily living. That is to say, we admire it, but we do not obey it. And why is that? Well, one reason, I think, is because we're not sure that it really applies to us. I mean, after all, this commandment was given long ago and far away. We don't have literal blood feuds anymore. We don't have a tribe of people living near us that would love to kill us, or whom we would love to kill. Now, to be sure, there are people with whom we do not get along. And we don't particularly care for them. We probably for good reason. They're rude and inconsiderate. They're unkind and unfair. They're selfish and demanding. Some of them are downright deceitful and dishonest. But if we were really pushed, I don't think we would go so far as to call them enemies. They are just people who we don't like and who don't seem to like us. But you know, nevertheless, we have to relate to those people in some fashion. It's impossible to avoid contact with all such persons. And whether we choose to call them enemies or something else, in one way or another, we must deal with them. And that is a universal problem faced by all of us. How shall we respond to the people who offend us, who cause us pain, who make our lives more difficult? Could it be that Jesus had these kinds of conflicts in mind when he said, love your enemies? Another difficulty we have with this commandment is that it seems so impractical. I mean, how could we love people who don't love us and who go out of their way to make that clear? How could we love the people that we don't even like? I mean, after all, it's not possible for us to feel the same towards our enemies as we do towards our friends. It's flatly not possible for us to love everybody in the same way that we love our father or our mother or our wife or child. No one can do that. But the key to understanding this strange commandment is found in the very next sentence. There Jesus spelled it out in terms of action. He said, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Now, granted, none of these things are easy at all, believe me. But all of them are possible. We can do good to all people, including those who do evil to us. We could speak well of them, even though the temptation is to denigrate them. We can pray for those who treat us unfairly. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. It wasn't a matter of your feelings. It's a matter of actions. This, however, raises another question. Why should we act like that? Why should we repay evil with good? I mean, that sounds crazy. What does it accomplish? Well, Jesus anticipated that question and began to address it. He conceded that most people put limits on their love. They love those who love them. They do good to those who do good to them. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with that kind of love. Without it, we would cease to be human. Reciprocal love is a basic ingredient in friendships. and in family life. Take it away, and every society would eventually turn into chaos. But the only problem with this kind of love is that it does not go far enough. According to Jesus, that's too ordinary, too limited. As Jesus put it, even the worst sinners love those who love them. And then he gave us this audacious challenge to take God as our role model. And he seemed to know that mystery intimately. He said that God loves without limits. It's not restricted to those who love him in return. The divine love is not extended only to those who deserve it. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. You know, this is a concept of love that's beyond bearing, isn't it? I mean, it sounds almost obscene. It sounds almost immoral. It literally means that God somehow loves the mass murderers as much as he loves their victims. And that he loved the Nazis as much as he loved their victims. You know, let's be honest, my friends. The God that created us is not a nice little man in the sky. He's not a buddy. God is an earthquake, a frightening thing in many ways. Now, we can very easily and piously say that God is love, but do you realize that God loves all of those people that we hate? Assassins and terrorists, child molesters, and brutal dictators. I mean, wouldn't it seem reasonable for God to draw a line somewhere? I mean, I'll go this far, but not that far. Love without limits is hard to imagine. And of course, it's even harder to practice. But you know, that kind of love is not entirely a matter of abstract imagination. It has actually been lived by a human being. Not easily. Not without great personal cost. But it has been done. And it has been imitated by people down through the centuries. And as you might have guessed, Jesus of Nazareth placed no limits upon his love. He kept company with rank unbelievers. He accepted the embraces of a prostitute. He socialized with dishonest tax collectors. He forgave a bloodthirsty mob that cried for his blood. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But it's also strangely convincing if you read the accounts that Jesus did love his enemies. And by doing so, the scriptures tell us he was the icon. He was the very image of God himself. Now, we all know this demanding love is difficult, almost impossible. But there is an unspeakable comfort in it. It means that you and I can never do or become anything that would cause God to turn away from us in disgust. But there's also that unnerving challenge in it. That same love is to be the guiding principle of our lives. And I can't say it too many times. It is extremely difficult. It almost seems impossible. But you know, when I find it difficult, which is most of the time, I remember a quote from C.S. Lewis. And this is what he wrote. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.